Title of my message today, You Must Have the Holy Spirit. Having said that, though, I did want to comment. Just, it is such a beautiful day, isn't it? Yes. I mean, the weather is so perfect. Such a perfect day to meet the Lord in the house of God. I really believe that. Okay, well, church, some of you have been born again in Christ for quite a while. Some of you, like me, decades. But maybe someone has come to Christ in just the last year. Or who knows, maybe someone is only a few weeks old in their relationship with Christ. No matter what our age, I think we'd all agree that it's an amazing thing to be saved from sin. It's an amazing thing. Old things pass away, and everything becomes fresh and new. And so I'm really happy for all of you, and me too. But dear one, just being saved isn't enough to be a strong soldier for our Lord Jesus Christ. No, there's actually so much more waiting for you. You need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's kind of a neat picture, huh? Yeah. You know, back in the Apostle Paul's day, some believers didn't even know about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you're aware of that. Paul asked them, he said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they replied, "We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So think about this. Yes, these were people that were saved. They'd accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But it's clear they hadn't been baptized yet with the Holy Spirit. Now, right as we get going, friends, I want you to know I truly believe that we are saved through the work of the Holy Spirit who comes to live in us at the time of our conversion to Christ, or what we call being born again, spiritually regenerated. But the Bible also tells us that there's also a special baptism, an anointing, an empowering for service that the Holy Spirit pours upon us. And so, church, drawing from the insights of others as well as my own, that's what I want to explore with you today. Okay, so I want to ask you a question first. Did you know that our Lord Jesus Christ didn't send his apostolic crew out into the world until they received that Holy Spirit baptism? Are you aware of that? I want you to think about this. For sure, Jesus' disciples had good hearts. And there's a picture of Jesus and his disciples. They had good hearts, and they had the faith to pray for the sick and for demonized people. They were already out there spreading the word about Christ and bringing in new followers. Think of this. They even saw Jesus after he'd risen from the dead. Now, you'd think that would be enough, right? They'd already been out there working as missionaries in the field, so to speak, in Jesus' ministry. They had prayed for people and seen amazing things happen. The most amazing thing of all, they see their Lord Jesus rise from the dead. You'd think they were ready to go. They were even ready to lay down their lives for him. The Apostle Peter even said on the night Jesus was arrested, I'm gonna die with you. Wow, those are pretty good qualifications, I think. But guess what? That wasn't enough. No, there was something more needed. And the Lord Jesus told them what it was in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Later, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Ah, and now you're going to really be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, even to the ends of the earth." Wow. So think of it. These amazing apostles, handpicked by Jesus, this close-knit group who knew Jesus so well, who had already done some incredible things, who had already been baptized in water, and had been taught everything they knew by Jesus personally, they still needed that Holy Spirit baptism. Whoa. Hey, and guess what? Baptized they were. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4 tells us, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. There's a picture of it. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. How many of you ever read this story? It's called, the Day of Pentecost. And this is amazing, church. And after that initial event, this epic event, really, it really started spreading out from there, this experience of being baptized in the Spirit. One very notable instance is found in Acts chapter 8, where Philip the evangelist had gone down to Samaria. It was not too far from Jerusalem. And it was super clear that the Holy Spirit was needed, even though he had already witnessed an epic move of God. And we see the story in Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 7. It says, Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria. He told the people there about the Messiah, Christ. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message, and they saw the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, read this with me. They sent Peter and John there. What? Yeah, Peter and John. What's that all about? Well, yes, after this great awakening, the Lord had to send his special Holy Spirit team down there. Yeah. Now, again, friends, there was already amazing signs and miracles happening down there in Samaria, this revival. It was really an awakening. And unclean spirits being driven out of scores of people. This whole city was buzzing with joy. But guess what? There was still more to come. Yes, and the scripture tells us why. Why did Peter and John go down there? Acts 8 tells us. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. For they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is talking about the crowds and that had gathered around Philip, like you see right here. Yeah. But it says, then Peter and John came down, laid their hands on those new believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. Ah, there it is. Do you see this? There's a picture of those two apostles laying hands on the new believers so they can receive the Holy Spirit. So process that with me. A great awakening, people coming to Christ, let's say public altar calls, people accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Philip baptizing them after, you know, some of them being delivered from all kinds of occult activity. These are people we would say, these are saved people, born again people. You don't baptize people if they're not born again. Jesus said those who believe and then get baptized, you know, they get saved. But even after that, Peter and John have to come down and pray so that they can receive this baptism in the Holy Spirit. Amazing. In church, we see a similar event recorded in Acts chapter 10. There we're introduced to a man named Cornelius. Cornelius was a devout non-Jewish man who loved God. He was actually a Roman centurion, and he used his position to help care for the Jewish people in his area under his rule. But Scripture tells us he was a seeker of the true God, one that feared God with all of his house, one who prayed to God always, and he was super generous with his almsgiving too. But you know, deep down, Cornelius felt there was something more out there in God. So after having received a divine vision that instructed him, he called for the apostle Peter, who was then instructed by an angel to go to Cornelius' home. And when Peter showed up, and there's a picture of it, he started preaching the gospel about Christ and how to be saved from sin. And as Peter was preaching this, all of a sudden, I mean, for lack of a better word, whoosh! Suddenly the Holy Spirit began to fall upon everyone. Acts 10:44 tells us what happened. Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. And then Peter asked, my goodness, Can anyone object to their being water baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just like we did? Wow. What do you think about that? Pretty amazing, huh? Oh, and by the way, everyone, I want to submit to you that this verse makes it clear that water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are not the same thing. Did you see that? That they'd already received this pouring over with the Holy Spirit being baptized. And then Peter said, well, now we need to immerse them in water. They've been immersed already in the Holy Spirit. So now we're going to immerse them in water, confirming their salvation status. Okay? Two separate operations. And in fact, we see this reflected over again in Acts chapter 11, verse 16, where one of the apostles said, then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, John will baptize with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Immersed in water, immersed in the Holy Spirit. Are you seeing this with me, everyone? As two distinct operations. And let's take it further. I mean, even after Saul of Tarsus was converted after his amazing encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, he still needed the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul had this amazing vision of Christ, and it left him, actually, the light was so bright, he was blinded temporarily. And he was hiding in a room in the city where they took him after he had had this encounter with Jesus. Paul was feeling totally broken inside for all the things he had done against God's people. But while he was in there, he was having an amazing revelation of Jesus. But what happened was then God sent a man named Ananias to Paul with a message telling him that he was a special chosen servant for the Lord. However, Saul still needed the Holy Spirit to come upon him to accomplish God's purposes in his life. This is what's so important. Scripture says this in Acts 9. Ananias went and found Saul. Remember, his name was Saul before it got changed to Paul. And he laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, that which is his Jewish name, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And instantly something like scales fell from Saul's, and he regained his sight. And then again, notice this, he got up and was what? Baptized. Water baptized. Now, why do you think about this? This is so amazing. Paul got converted. Who led Paul to Jesus? Jesus. I mean, you know, think about it. All of us had somebody that led us to Jesus. Paul was actually led to Jesus by Jesus. Jesus met him on the road and said, I'm leading you to faith in me. Paul even asked him, who are you? He didn't even know who he was when he was talking to him, the vision. He said, I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting, and I've come here to lead you to faith in me. I want you to get saved right now. I'm going to lead you in an altar call. I'm going to, your altar is this dusty road, but I'm going to lead you in a sinner's prayer right now. Paul got saved. He goes in there and he's in this room, can't see. He's like, doesn't know what's going to happen to him. And then this is what happens. But he had to be filled with the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's purpose in his life. So there it is. So again, listen, in case after case in the book of Acts, we find this occurrence. And what it does for me is it lays out the motto for the New Testament church. And if they were here and they could voice their motto, I believe it would sound something like this, and I'd like you to say it with me together. You gotta have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you overcome the power of the world. Remember, Jesus said, you gotta have the baptism of the Spirit. Why? Because I'm sending you out to the world. You're gonna be my witnesses in the world. They had been his witnesses in that, you know, little geographic area there around Israel. And the Lord says, oh, but there's a big, big, bad world out there that you don't know anything about, guys. These guys had never traveled probably more than 30 miles from where they were born. And Jesus said, there's a big, big, bad world out there that you need to take my gospel to, and you need power to take on that world. And so that this is why you need this mighty baptism in the Spirit. And that's what he said to all of these apostles and to Paul. Paul said, I was someone that kind of brought up the rear on all this stuff. But he said, he spoke to me too, and he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. You got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you overcome the power of the world. Well, you may ask, how does that work? Well, first of all, you know, overcoming the world starts by the Holy Spirit helping us overcome the worldliness in us. Can I tell you that? Before we're able to really make an impact on the world like we should, we got to get the world out of us. Got quiet in here. Okay. Listen, my dear friend, you may ask, how does this work? It works because after the Holy Spirit comes upon you to baptize you, he can really take charge at what I want to call an enhanced level. It's a dialed up level. You got to remember, your body is actually a temple for the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit God gave you? And that he lives within you. Your own body does not belong to you. Wow. Isn't that something? So yes, my brother or sister, through the extra power that comes from his baptizing you, the Holy Spirit helps you to kick out of his house, his temple, in other words, your body, all the leftover baggage from your old sinful ways. He cleanses away all the evil influences and puts an end to the enemy's control. That's what he's there for. He raises a holy banner and lets Satan and his demons know that this temple, your body, is all about Jesus now. He shouts, hey, all you dark powers, listen up. You've got no claim here. This is my space now. And I'm making Christ Jesus the boss of this believer's body, soul, and spirit. Holy Spirit's got a very proactive posture when we're baptized in his power. I mean, by analogy, we could say he basically wants to replicate Jesus' cleansing of the temple in our personal life. Remember when Jesus cleansed the temple and drove all the bad stuff out? Well, that's a picture of what the Holy Spirit comes into us to do. He empowers us to get the world out of us so we can go out into the world and confront that world with the gospel. Now, there's more. You'll also discover that if you've got the anointing of the Spirit of Truth, you're going to find yourself getting in sync with God's word and loving every minute of it. Look at that picture of that woman there, you know. It's like the scriptures are opening up to her through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptism really helps to start showing you what's on Christ's mind. And when you dive into the Word, you'll feel that excitement and get the strength to follow through. Yes, saints, when you and I are truly baptized with and empowered by the Holy Spirit, his first assignment is this, yes, to remind us and teach us about everything the Lord Jesus has told us to do, and then empower us to do it. This is so very, very important that we understand this. Now, I often find myself questioning how some people who call themselves Christians can twist the teachings of the Bible. And I guess what I mean is this. They see the clear warnings in Scripture, but they choose to ignore them. And it's like, honestly, they're living two different lives. They create their own rules, and they mix in with the world around them. It's as if they have two personalities. I mean, one that indulges in all sorts of sins while the other insists, oh, but that's not really me. The true me loves Jesus. Listen, I say they're leading a double life. Because, saints, the Bible makes God's demand for separation very clear. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Scripture says, you are not the same as those who don't believe. So don't join yourselves to them. Good and evil don't belong together. Light and darkness cannot share the same room. How can there be any unity between Christ and the devil? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? God's temple cannot have anything to do with idols, and we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live with them and walk with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So come away from those people and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch any of their filthy things, and I will accept you. I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord all-powerful. Have you ever read that? That's one of the most important scriptures in the New Testament. Because right there, once again, the imagery of that we're God's temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and connected with the Holy Spirit taking possession of our temple, when we're fully baptized in the Holy Spirit and we surrender the keys of the house to him, the temple to him, the most important thing that you understand in all of that is that there is a separateness, that there is a other kind of life we're going to live now, that the worldliness is going to be kicked out, and that the Spirit's main commitment is to get us to live a separate and holy life. And God says that that's when we really get to know him as Father and sons and daughters. I'm holy, God said, and if you want to walk with me, you got to be holy too. And so the Lord, just not the imputed holiness of Jesus that gets us saved or God forgiveness, there's a practical sanctification or holiness of everyday life. You know what I'm talking about, that we have to live out. The Holy Spirit comes to do that. And so when I hear people all wrapped up in the power of the Holy Spirit and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we'll touch on some of that in a minute, but when we're all wrapped up in the phenomenal part of it alone and we don't get the sanctification piece, that the Holy Spirit is come to me because he is the Holy Spirit, okay? Amen. And he's here to produce holiness in my life, to get worldliness out of my life so that when I go out into that world representing Jesus, I have a credible witness. Does that make sense? Yes. That they would say, this guy's been with Jesus. This guy knows the Lord. This lady knows the Lord. Everyone, I'm asking you, how can anyone who truly loves Jesus and is baptized in the Spirit, how can they overlook or twist that clear warning and distinction? But people are doing it all the time, especially in this day and age. But Paul said, let anyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from all wickedness. That's what the Holy Spirit baptism comes to help us do. Are you seeing this with me? I mean, I'm asking specifically, for example, how can so-called Christian actors and actresses star in raunchy movies filled with gratuitous, immoral sex and gruesome violence and then claim God said that it was okay? And honestly, how can you and I as Christians watch those kinds of films or hang out in shady places and say, I'm a witness for Jesus? Listen, dear ones, if they or we do these kinds of things, it's because we're missing the Spirit of truth. We really need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to fill us anew and empower our eyes to be open to see what's truly holy and what's righteous and what isn't. Our Lord Jesus said this in John 14, I'll ask the Father to help you with this. He will send another helper to be with you. That helper will stay with you forever. He is God's Spirit, and he shows you what is true. The people who belong to this world cannot receive him. That's because they can't even see him. They cannot know who he is. But you know him because he stays with you, and he will be in you. All right, so, dear one, I'm basically saying that all the preaching, all the counseling, and all the Bible study in the world won't mean a thing unless the Holy Spirit is both living inside you and empowering you. He's the one that helps you to recognize when it's God who's speaking. You know, you go to church and you sit and listen to people speaking, you're listening to all kinds of preachers on social media, all kinds of people teaching the Bible, giving their opinions, you know, talking about spiritual stuff. Listen, it's in the baptism of the Spirit that you, by the Spirit's power, are able to recognize when you hear something, you go, hey, that's God speaking. And definitely, maybe it's God speaking to me right now. You see what I'm saying? But, you know, I don't know, some folks here in our church or maybe people who've been watching online, I mean, God bless you all. You've heard messages like this time and time again, but sometimes even after a year or two of just listening to messages like this, they're still like spiritual babies. What I mean by that is you're still caught up in the world. And why? Look, I submit to you because you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to help you overcome the power of the world and its ways. They're still exercising sway over you. You haven't invited the Holy Spirit to immerse you. You haven't invited him to really take over your life. You still want to be in control and aren't ready to let him take the wheel. I know, because I was there once, too. And we can easily default back to that. Listen, my dear friend, you really need the discerning power of the Holy Spirit, because he's the Spirit of truth who will teach you all things. And with him in charge, you won't get led astray or sidetracked by a distorted, watered-down gospel. And that's what there's a lot of out there now. And I don't say that to be mean-spirited. I'm not trying to be unkind. I pray the Lord every day. I don't want to fall into that category myself. But I'm still, because of the Holy Spirit, I can recognize watered-down gospel. I can understand and see distorted teaching. I know this: when the Holy Spirit is on me and in me and empowering me, he shows me how to glorify Jesus, because it's from Jesus that he takes whatever he reveals to me. And if we're really people who are baptized in the Spirit, I'm telling you what we're always going to be doing is pointing people to Jesus. We're going to be enamored with Jesus. We're going to be focused on Jesus. What we want to hear from is the Lord Jesus and what he wants to reveal to us right now. Now, so in light of all this, I hope you can certainly understand then when I tell you on the apostles' testimony and Christ's authority that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for you. It's for you. But having said that, then I must now ask you, do you really want the Holy Spirit? Are you ready for him to come upon you and fill you with his fire? You know, you truly need to believe that this is meant for you. Dear, when you have to reach a point where you understand that without the Holy Spirit's power and guidance, you are nothing. You have nothing, and you can do nothing in the Christian walk. Boy, that's a revelation to some folks. That's a true revelation. But hey, there's good news. You should know that he is still baptizing people today. I like that. There's a man getting prayed for the baptism in the Spirit. He's still coming upon believers and filling people today. As it says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because this promise is for you, it's for your children, and everyone far, far away, as many as the Lord our God will call. The Lord's still calling. Yes, dear friend, every hour of every day, countless people around the world are being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you see, what's happened is they've read about this promise in the Bible, or they've heard it shared in sermons, just like I'm doing right now. And so they called out, they claimed the promise, and they've received the baptism and the empowerment that comes with it to both live for and serve Christ. I'll tell you what, if we ever needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we need it now, because we're living in the final days. I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, everybody's thought they were living in the final days. Even the Apostle Paul and Peter thought they were living in the final days. Everybody does. And we say, wow, how bad could it get? Well, I don't know, but I mean, I feel like we really are, from a lot of signposts, certainly living at the very, very near of the end of the age. Got to be close. Well then, hey, this baptism is especially for those of us living in these final days. For as it says in Acts 2:17 and 18, it'll come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all people. I'll pour out my Spirit in those days. And so, you know, when things are looking like it's the last hour, the darkest, or whatever's going on in the world, the Lord says, that's when I'm really needing to pour out my Spirit, even more than ever, because the need is so great. The need is so great. And without the Lord's help, how can we respond? You know, Jesus told this story in Luke chapter 11. There's a picture of it. He talked about a guy who got up in the middle of the night and went to his buddy's house looking for 3 loaves of bread. He was asking for 3 loaves of bread. Now, the neat thing about this parable or this story is that Jesus will explain later, it's all about seeking the Holy Spirit. It's all about needing the Holy Spirit. It's about seeking, asking, and knocking. So here's what happened. This guy was at home when a friend showed up after hours. He was coming in from a long trip. He was super hungry. But guess what? The friend of his had nothing to feed him. And in that culture, listen, that hospitality in the Middle East is so crucial. And especially for your friends, it's like almost like a dishonor if you don't provide for somebody. But he had nothing to feed him. You know, it's a great analogy. It's like a symbol of being spiritually weak. His spiritual pantry was empty, his cupboards. So the guy with empty hands went at midnight to the friend down the street who had bread. He knocked and knocked and knocked. The guy wasn't answering the door. He's like, go away. It's late, man. What are you doing? But he kept persisting until he woke the guy up and he begged him to give him those loaves of bread for his guest. He said, I gotta have it. I gotta have this because I've got a need that I've got to meet. And it's a crucial need. Okay, I think you're seeing it with me. By analogy, this guy was in dire need of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is trying to say. He was really desperate. So here's the application. Are you ready? Dear Saint, please listen. It's midnight right now. It's one of the darkest times all around us in our world, in our lives. People we know, our families, so much is difficult. Yeah, you've got family and friends. They're starving for help all around you. They need God's grace in their lives, but you feel like you've got nothing to give. You're struggling just to keep up with what you've got to do. I understand. But here's the point. And Jesus knows it. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, hey, I've got to have resources beyond what I've got to meet the need. And the good news is God's ready to give you that baptism of power if you just ask. In fact, our Lord Jesus said in the parable at the end, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Just like this guy, he reluctantly got up and said, oh my gosh, take the bread and get out of here. He's like, go home and go to bed for God's sakes. You know, but he says, hey, the Father, he's not going to be reluctant. He's going to be excited to give you what you need. It's true. Father God wants you to live and move and minister in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about that. You shouldn't have to run around, I'm saying, looking for someone else to help out. You are meant to speak God's word as the Spirit leads you. You are meant to pray for the sick. You're meant to expel demonic influences just like the first Christians did. That's right. We're all called to be witnesses filled with the Holy Spirit and power, which is why another exhortation the apostles would voice to us if they were all standing here on the stage with me today is this. They'd say, hey, you got to understand that you can't receive everything Jesus wants for you unless you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin who introduced him to Israel, he said, look, I'm just baptizing y'all with water, but there's someone way more powerful coming after me. I'm not even fit to untie his shoes. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Once again, the contrast between the water and the Spirit. So John was announcing this is who Jesus would be. It would be what he's all about. So dear one, yeah, listen up, please. The Bible is super clear. When Jesus shows up, he wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's a neat picture, huh? Can I see Jesus there in the background? He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And what happens when that occurs? Well, the Holy Spirit ignites a blazing, all-consuming love for Jesus. So then that leads me to this question. Why do so many believers seem to be on fire one moment and then totally cold the next? Never like totally fully committed. One foot in, one foot out. Why is that? I'm asking, could it be because they haven't let Jesus baptize them with the power of the Holy Spirit? They just haven't been lit by the Lord. Our master said when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to convict of sin. I'm saying maybe these believers aren't feeling that conviction because the Holy Spirit hasn't been invited to anoint them and take his rightful place in their lives. Because if the Spirit was invited to empower them, he'd be the one convicting, convincing, and challenging them, keeping them aligned with God's word. He's like God's measuring stick. Anything that doesn't line up with Christ, he points out, and he gives us the strength to change. That's the beautiful part of it. He truly becomes our comforter because while he shows us our sins, he also empowers us to get rid of them. And I say that's real comfort. I don't know if you think so. Because it's not just about a bunch of heavy conviction and guilt. It's about help to change. But dear ones, now, the apostles would also unapologetically tell us, though, if we're going to open up to the Holy Spirit, you say, I'm thinking. Well, look, they understand that there might be some challenges. They would also unapologetically tell you that to fully yield to the Spirit's baptism from Jesus, you got to be ready to drop the formalities. That's just your pride talking. I'm talking about being too proper, too rigid, and too over-analytical when it comes to how the Spirit works in your life. Yes, friends, because I say this because please closely consider this. In both the Old and the New Testaments, the Holy Spirit showed up in the most astonishing, extraordinary ways. He made buildings shake and he filled people with joy. He empowered them to speak God's praise in new languages. I'm saying when the Holy Spirit is allowed to operate, he really does come and he takes charge of our lives. And yes, as we've noted at Pentecost, he arrived like a strong rushing wind. Flames appeared. They were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak in unknown languages as the Spirit helped them. And I want you to think about that scene. Can you imagine it? A crowd of 120 people all talking and praising God at once in different languages. It must have looked like a disorderly scene. In fact, onlookers that day thought that it was. But it was actually glorious in God. But you see, when the Holy Spirit comes in power, people are stirred. That's the point. And the atmosphere is charged with God's presence. Acts 4 tells us a little later that when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, I know that's like, wow, that's kind of like a lot of stuff going on there, preacher. I don't know. Well, you know, which is why I think nowadays many people say, hey, look, the Spirit came down at Pentecost. I accept that. So we don't need to ask for him anymore. He already came to the church. We don't need to ask. But, you know, actually in the book of Acts, we see that the Holy Spirit continued to come upon believers long after Pentecost. He came to Cornelius' house, as we've already mentioned, and what happened there? Yes, the Holy Spirit fell on everybody. They began to speak in different languages and prophesy. He came to those new believers Paul reached out to in Ephesus, fell on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. I mean, church, I just submit to you that these are the Holy Spirit's operations showing up in astonishing, extraordinary ways. I think you would agree with that. So in light of that now, then, I ask, can you see now how being too proper, how being too rigid, how being too over-analytical, too intellectual, could hinder the manifestation of his power? Because you go, hey, that phenomena, it's transrational. That's not rational stuff. Right, sure. So we don't want to be like this guy, you know, quenching the fire of the Spirit. Now, and having said that, that also doesn't mean that the manifestation of the Spirit is a license for some kind of a free-for-all where almost anything goes using the excuse that the Spirit is moving. No, the Apostle Paul explains spiritual church order regarding the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians. My brother or sister, please understand, authentic baptism in the Holy Spirit won't make you do silly or stupid things that bring disrespect on God. I need to tell you this. However, having said that, I will say sometimes when he comes, some people might still think you're acting a little fanatical or emotional or weird. It's almost impossible to avoid all of it. Sometimes demonic power, when we have confrontations with demonic power, that can be unsettling to people. When the Holy Spirit is moving, I mean, when I first came into the charismatic experience, even as a young kid, when I used to see people lifting up their hands, that just seemed so weird to me. I was raised in a church where no one lifted their hands. We sang straight with our hands at our side, holding our hymnals. I remember it, so prim and proper. And we were respecting God, that's what we believed. But you see, you come into the charismatic renewal, you also understand that the lifting of our hands and some of these practices, Neil was preaching about last week, some of these practices of the Old Testament, which were our patterns for us, about our expressing our love to God. Because when the Holy Spirit's on you, you have this unction to do things. You have an enhanced, I would suggest, worship experience. And some of that, even just lifting your hands, forget speaking in tongues or prophesying, just sometimes lifting hands makes people uncomfortable, right? So you can't get away from all of it. Sometimes just animated preaching or anointed preaching, like I'm doing now, can make people go, whoa. They'd rather have me here sipping a cup of coffee and going, hey, what's up? You know, and I'm not doing that. It's kind of coming at you, you know what I mean? And people go, I don't know. So no matter what you do, if you're going to welcome the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's going to be a little awkward, okay? It's not, but he's not going to have you do something just outright silly or stupid to bring disrespect. But because of this fact that the Holy Spirit moves, it can be unsettling. All of this is why many churches shy away from the manifestation of the Spirit. They believe he brings possible confusion, disruption, or unpredictability into the spiritual environment. And look, some charismatic churches have sadly reinforced that idea by how they model the Spirit's manifestation among them. I want to contend for a balanced manifestation for both now and the days to come, according to 1 Corinthians, okay? But here's the point. Don't be afraid of that, and don't overanalyze it. I've been there. I've struggled with those things. It all begins, though, with a personal experience, which is why the final personal prescription the apostles would give you this morning, if they were standing here on this stage with me, is that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by an act of your faith. Yeah, the Apostle Paul posed an important question to the Galatian Christians. He said, I just want to know one thing from you. Did you get the Spirit through your actions or by hearing with faith? Of course, the inference is Paul said it was by hearing about it, like you're doing today, combined with faith to reach out your hand of faith and take a hold of it. Did you catch that? That statement right there should fire up your faith. And with that ignited faith, you can grab hold of God's incredible promises regarding the Holy Spirit. The key is to ask in faith without doubting. In fact, in this regard, the Lord is saying to you, open your mouth wide, I'll fill it with good things. Because part of this whole idea of being filled with the Spirit is so we can be God's prophetic people. The Lord said, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit so the sons and daughters can prophesy. We're supposed to have anointed speech and communication for the Lord. We're his witnesses, after all, in what we live and what we say. So we open our mouths to expect God's going to fill it with good things. But, dear ones, let's be clear at this point. I need to. Folks, our main focus, when we come for the Holy Spirit, it shouldn't be on praying for the gift of tongues. It shouldn't be for praying for prophecy. No. Rather, we should be asking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right? I need to make this clear. You got to get the priority right. What am I here for? I'm here to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with power. However, having said that, as we've seen in the scriptures, speaking in spiritual language and or prophesying often come along with that baptism. So we should be open to these experiences. However, these and or other spiritual gifts can either show up right away when we've been prayed for to receive the baptism of the Spirit, or later. It depends on what the Lord decides and our posture of openness at any given stage in our experience, okay? The main point is that Jesus wants you to live, move, and serve with the Holy Spirit's personal anointing. That's one author's depiction of the Holy Spirit. I loved it. Because the Holy Spirit is a person, after all, and one of the things I wanted to do right now is make sure we don't leave this relegated that somehow the Holy Spirit is just some impersonal force from God. The Holy Spirit is a person. And when I get the anointing of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Spirit, I'm immersed in a person. I'm embraced by a person. And there's an impartation of his personal grace to me. So I have to ask, have you asked God for this gift? Are you pursuing the Holy Spirit's baptism for empowerment? Are you persistently knocking on heaven's door? I want to encourage you. Remember what our Lord Jesus said to encourage you. He said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Beloved, just ask and you'll receive. Seek your heavenly Father for the baptism of the Spirit and he will grant his Holy Spirit to you. Amen. And so, listen, I say it's time to hit our knees. Cry out to God for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives, personally and collectively. We want him to come down on us. We want him to come down on our churches, our leaders. We want him to wipe away everything that's not pure, that's not holy. We want him to wipe away all worldliness. So I say, God, send your Holy Spirit. Come down on us. Fill us up with your power. Let us charge forward against the forces of evil in this world with a faith that will not back down, believing that we can make a difference today. Praise God. Any amens on that?
Amen.
All right. Well, dear one, if you're seeking the anointing and empowerment of the Holy Spirit, I want to partner with you in prayer today. I would like to anoint you with oil if you will come meet me here now during this closing hymn. And then I would like to do that. I'm just going to take the anointing oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and I want to anoint you. And then you just sit on the front row right here. And just as the song of the hymn plays, let the Holy Spirit just come on you and wash over you. You know, we just start with a big first step of saying, Holy Spirit, I'm hungry, thirsty, seeking. Come fill me. This is where it starts. So this is like a real big first step. And now if you've been baptized in the Spirit, you've been filled with the Spirit, and you say, look, I just feel like I need a new infilling. I really do. You're welcome to come too. You're welcome to come too. And so maybe people, while the song's playing, you want to sit right here in these chairs. Whoever, if there's just a couple of you, that's fine too. But I just want to encourage you to believe that this is a day the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the Lord Jesus is the one you're coming to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to stand right here. So if you want to come, and we'll pray. And the rest of you, pray right where you are for those coming. Pray for them and pray for our church as a whole, because the Lord's going to hear.
You.
He said, as he breathed on them, receive the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, thank you for baptizing us anew in your Spirit today. Oh, Lord, we believe there's much, 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 much more of your Spirit that we're going to be receiving in the days to come. Holy Spirit, we invite you now to have free sway. Manifest Jesus to us, not only for our personal lives, but we call forth gifts and callings in this room today. We call forth the purpose of God in individual lives and for our church as a whole. We prophesy to our community for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and beyond. Lord, today we believe that bondages are being broken in our lives. The worldliness is being confronted. That, Lord Jesus, we're getting, like the Apostle Paul had, a revelation of you, and we're seeing you like we've never seen you before, Lord Jesus. And that our best days are yet to come, because we have your power now. And there's more to be done. It's just a first step today. Much more to be done. And I pray, Lord, that in our personal and private time with you, we open up to all the possibilities. Ah, yes, Lord, all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit you want to manifest in and through us. We are just open to all of it. Anoint our words, our speech, anoint our hands, our eyes, our thoughts, all that we do. And help us, Lord Jesus, to take this out of here and share it everywhere we have opportunity. But you are welcome here, and we are your temple, Holy Spirit, to the glory of God the Father through Jesus our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to send you with the Lord's blessing, but I would tell you there's also more prayer available up here after the service, okay? So please come. And if you even want to just sit here for a while and wait on the Spirit of God while other prayers happening, you're welcome to do that, because we'll have the music playing. If you say, look, I don't feel like I'm done yet, I don't know if God's done with me, just, you can sit and just linger for a while. Close your eyes and just say, Holy Spirit, do what you want to do. Fill me, overflow me. So that's an opportunity you can take. That being said, I want to release you now with a blessing and a time of fellowship outside in the lobby, in the hallways. Any sign-ups out there of anything, do avail yourselves of those. But now I say this to you and those watching on now, online. Now may the risen Lord meet us today wherever we go. May he dispel the clouds and make the sun shine in our souls. And yes, may he use us to touch the lives of others, blessing the poor in spirit and alleviating the ills of the world. And may Christ's name be praised now and forever, time without end. Amen. God bless you, everyone. We're dismissed in his presence. Online family, God bless you too. Have a wonderful week. We'll all see you all next time we're together. Come for prayer or linger if you wish. Either way, God bless you.